KNDE HD3 and KNDE HD4 K274CM. College Station Bryan.
I'm Jay Berman. This report is brought to you by La Quinta. La Quinta Inns and Suites takes care of everything so you can take care of business. Book now at LQ.com or call 1-800-SLEEP-LQ. Well, here's a pretty good stat. Carlos Correa, the second youngest player in the history of baseball with a multi-home run postseason game. Andrew Jones, the other. Jones was 19 years old when he did it back in 1996. Carlos Correa, 21 today. And again, two homers and four RBIs on the afternoon. Astros, 6 outs away from advancing to the championship series. They lead the Royals in game four, heading to the eighth inning, 6-2. They just put up a three spot in the bottom of the seventh. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, game four between the Blue Jays and Rangers will get underway from Arlington. R.A. Dickey for Toronto, Derek Holland for Texas. Rangers, 2-1 in the series. They've got the lead. Of course, the National League gets going later on today as well. These are game threes. 1-1 tie between the Cardinals and Cubs in Chicago. Waka versus Arrieta. 1-1 tie between the Dodgers and Mets in New York. Brett Anderson and Matt Harvey. Chase Utley will not have his appeal heard either today or tomorrow, which means he is available. Still don't have a Dodgers starting lineup. So when we do, we'll let you know if that includes Chase Utley. From football, the college game. Florida quarterback Will Greer suspended for the season, testing positive for a banned substance. Meanwhile, Monday Night Football tonight from San Diego. 2-2 Chargers, 2-2 Steelers. I'm Jay Berman.
This is Boomer Esiason of CBS Sports. The joys and heartbreaks of sports. Expect it here, CBS Sports Radio.
I'm Patrick Zeiner with your community calendar on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM. Brought to you by RP Lee Termite and Pest Control, shielding and protecting homes against pests for over 30 years. For more information, visit rpleepestcontrol.com. Coinciding with LGBT History Month, Texas A&M is hosting a film series, reception, and lecture by noted filmmaker and social activist Dustin Lance Black on Wednesday. Visit studentlife.tamu.edu/dlbtamu for more information. The Rio Brazos Audubon Society presents Avian Malaria Throughout the African Continent on Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. at the Brazos Valley Museum of Natural History. The Forsyth Galleries will host a free public lecture by Dr. Valerie Ann Leeds on Thursday at 6 p.m. in the Stark Galleries. Leeds will discuss painter Robert Henri's role in American art. Today, sunny and 94. Tonight, mostly cloudy and 70. This Wednesday at 6, make your way out to Kreitz Market for the Crosstown Kickoff Show. Stop by to show your support for the Vikings or the Tigers and enjoy some fantastic Kreitz barbecue. For more information, visit the events tab at zone1150.com.
The following is a paid issue advertisement.
Home ownership is the foundation of strong families and communities. Statewide Prop 1 strengthens that foundation by giving property tax relief to homeowners, helping seniors and disabled Texans, and preventing the government from ever slapping a sales tax on real estate. This November, vote for property tax relief. Vote for Proposition 1. Early voting runs October 19th through the 30th, and Election Day is Tuesday, November 3rd. Learn more at texansforprop1.com.
Paid political advertising by the Texas Association of Realtors issues mobilization.
Texas affords great businesses the freedom to grow. Outstanding business practices affords Texans one of the strongest economies in the country. This is Inside Texas Business.
Outdoor lighting can enhance the beauty of your home, says Richard Lentz, President Lentz Landscape Lighting.
We love to shed some light on all the beautiful landscapes Texas has to offer. The distinctive natural beauty that each neighborhood provides has continued to inspire us for over 30 years.
Inside Texas Business, presented by Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a policyholder-owned workers' comp provider. Work safe, Texas.
St. Joseph Eagle football fans, here's a reminder for you to listen to St. Joseph Eagles football throughout the season on 88.5 FM. St. Joseph Eagle football is brought to you this season by these fine local businesses.
ServPro of the Brazos Valley, Strata Auto Repair, Kelly Bird Dozer, and Intech Pest Management.
Listen to St. Joseph Eagles football on 88.5 FM. Special thanks to all of our St. Joseph Eagle football sponsors. When you think of Texas A&M Athletics on the Zone, Think of the businesses sponsoring the games of your favorite team.
Businesses like Team Auto in Navasota, Zwarneman Flooring, and the Sleep Station.
Here's a big gig'em to these sponsors of Texas A&M Athletics. You're listening to the flagship station for Texas A&M Athletics, Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
Listen to Aggie football, basketball, baseball, softball, and soccer on your home for Aggie athletics. The Zone FM, 102.7 and Sports Radio 1150.
When you think of Texas A&M Athletics on The Zone, think of the businesses sponsoring the games of your favorite team.
Businesses like Pioneer Steel, Coldwell Banker Agtown Realtors, Rudy's Barbecue, and Garland Shelton Imports.
Here's a big gig'em to these sponsors of Texas A&M Athletics. You're listening to the flagship station for Texas A&M Athletics, Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
Listen to the Astros, the Rangers, the Texans, and of course, the Fightin' Texas Aggies. Texas Aggies. Your favorite teams play on the Zone FM 102.7 and Sports Radio 1150.
There's a man going around taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around.
Welcome back. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, Aubrey Bloom, Robert Cessna. We're brought to you by MSC Opus. Check out all the great events coming to the season that dreams are made of at mscopus.org. All the information on tickets and all the great events there at mscopus.org. All right, Cease, this is one we've been waiting for. We wait every week to hear what he has to say, and it's been a long weekend, the bye week. A&M fans have been wanting to hear from former A&M quarterback Stephen McGee. Stephen, the first thing I want to ask you is if you're sitting there, if you're Kyle Allen and it's Monday, is this going to feel like the longest week of his entire life? I mean, he's got to make it through class and practice and all that sort of stuff. What's it like on the Monday heading into a game like this?
A lot of excitement. I know he's not thinking about math 141 or English 142 or whatever the heck they call it. I didn't ever go, so I don't really know. But he, these are the type of games that you come to Texas A&M to be a part of, and really the opportunity of a lifetime. And I think Jason Garrett said it best when he get in front of the team. It's a privilege to put on an Aggie helmet. It's not a right. And certainly he's earned that privilege. And so I'm excited. I hope he's excited as I am. I've already got a lot of money on the line for this game. I haven't gone to Ashley's Furniture yet to get my couch, but if we needed one, believe that I'd be there in line.
What is it like if you're a player going into a week like this? I don't know what you would say the biggest game that you played in was. In the Texas ones, it'd be a little bit different because school's off for a couple days that week. But in some of the big games that you played in, when does it start to you get that energy, that juice flowing, whatever you want to call it, at practice? Is it Monday when you really start to feel it? Is it all week, or is it wait till kind of midweek? How does that usually work for the guys?
That's a great question. I think every guy's a little bit different. I was a pretty anxious, I'm by trade an anxious person in general. And so, especially with things that I care about a whole lot. So I was anxious throughout. And I don't think it was necessarily one game or one opponent, but every week. And I think where the underlying factor is a great coach has an ability to convey to his team, yes, you got to focus, yes, you have to be prepared, but not unlike any other game, because great coaches preach to their team, and it's not just a cliche that they say to the media, but it's something that I think they really believe, that every day, every practice, you've got to make the most of it, and this is just one of 12 games for the Aggies. Yes, it's a great football team, an incredible story behind this program, coming to Kyle Field, primetime TV. We're undefeated. We're right where we need to be to play for it all. And we've got the ability and talent as a team to do that. But you can't think of it like that. You've got to think of it as I'm lining up against this fat three technique from Missouri or wherever the heck he's from southern Alabama, and I've got to kick his tail every time. And I know he's got this tendency, and that's what my focus is. It's not on is CBS here, is game day here, all that other crap, what people are saying, talking about, people like me. You block all that out, and you just go out there, and you play football, and you play it to the best of your ability. And I think great coaches, and I believe Kevin Sumlin is this way, will have this team ready to go, yes, but they're going to be relaxed. And I don't think that it's going to feel any different than a normal week for these guys.
Steven, that being said, how long did it take you? Were you that way when you played against Texas as a freshman from your days at Burnett? Or how quickly did you get that? How quickly did you get that mode where it was what you went in and took care of business, so to speak?
Yeah, Seth, you're gonna have to hear me tell this story again, man. I probably crapped my pants twice before that Texas game. I was so nervous as a freshman, first start, obviously a big time game against a school that I considered going to, and one that was in my backyard, half my hometown pretends like they went to Texas and the other half of the town went to Texas. And so to say that I didn't want to beat the crap out of Texas would be a lie. I wanted to win that game so bad. I was nervous. I knew I was going to start before everybody else knew. In fact, about a week and a half before the game, Coach Fran came to me and said, "All right, man, you got the keys to the vehicle now." He said, "Try not to wreck it on your first drive out." I sure as heck did wreck it. But, you know, all that to say, as excited as you can be about a football game, once the ball is snapped, and I think once you settle in, you're starting to play football again, you forget about all the other jazz that's going on around you. And so I think that'll be the case for Kyle Allen. I've never been in a huddle with him. I don't know his personality, but he seems to be a very cool-natured, level-headed customer, which I love in a quarterback. I love that steady guy that's the same after an interception as he is after a touchdown.
One thing I'm interested in this game, Steven, and this is one thing we don't know. Like you said, we don't know Allen that well, and frankly, I don't know Spavitt all that well. But if you were calling the plays in a big game, having played some big games yourself, would you rather see the team, you know, go for broke early, try to take advantage, get on the board, put the pressure on the other team, or are you more of a, hey, you know, run some base things, let's get ourselves into the flow of the game? You mentioned the first time you get hit and then you're playing football. Would you approach the start of the game any differently?
Well, I'm definitely going to make a statement. I'm going to be aggressive. If I'm an offensive coordinator, I'm going to find a personnel group and a formation that I can pretty much guarantee from film study what coverage I'm going to get. So I'm going to dictate coverage by personnel group and formation, and I'm going to take a calculated shot. I'm going to ask Kyle Allen to throw that thing as far as he can to Christian Kirk, and let's just see what happens. Worst case scenario, it's an incomplete pass, but I promise you this, those cornerbacks aren't going to be flat-footed early in the game. And so I like to come out making a statement. Now, you've got to play to your strengths. And whatever that matchup is this week, I'm not in the film room. I'm not breaking down Alabama. I don't know what that is. But you play to your identity as an offense and what your strength is and what your best matchup is on the field. You exploit that early on. But if I want to send a message to Alabama, I want to go deep. I want to try to get that explosive play. I do know this. Teams that start well seem to have a higher rate of success in winning football games than teams that start out of the gate slow. I don't know what that stat is. It's sure it's not as high as the turnover margin stat is, and I'm a big fan of that. But if you can limit turnovers and start the game out well, get a 10-point lead or so, man, I love our chances.
That being said, I was going to ask you about the turnovers. Steven, I thought you did a great job in your career. You did a great job protecting the ball. Now, when you're in these pre-games practices this week, is that something the coaches are constantly stressing, or once again, that's just something innate as you play? You know, I got to take care of the ball. I'm the quarterback.
Well, I think your coaches are constantly preaching ball security, whether it's, you know, pre-practice with your quarterbacks and you're working on two hands on the ball in the pocket. That was always a big focus for quarterbacks in Dallas or maybe it's offensive linemen running down the field, following the play for a loose ball, running backs having the ball in a three-point threat position where it's not loose, it's not dangling. Yes, you're going to preach that, and you're going to focus on that every week, trying to build good habits. But at the same time, as important as turnovers are, and I think the fine line that I crossed over to the wrong side was, we're not going to be scared to take chances and make plays. As long as we're doing making smart decisions and aggressive throws, there's going to be times when the defense makes a good play. That's part of football. There's going to be a time when a DB wins the route and our receiver doesn't, or he's going to fall. And you're going to throw it, and you're going to do your job as a quarterback, but at the end of the day, it's going to be an interception. And everyone in the stands, 80,000 people, are going to be mother effing you because you threw an interception. But as a coach and as a quarterback, we know that that's not our fault. You can't control that. So I don't want to say that you got to be scared to make a mistake. You've got to let your players play, but at the same time, you know the importance of protecting the football and not being stupid with the ball, not having the ball dangling like your Deion Sanders. So they're somewhere in the middle there that you've got to juggle. And I've said this all along. I know I'm sure people out there listening to me talk about Kevin Sumlin think I'm a Sumlin, a homer, or he's paying me to say good things about it. I'm really not. I'm unbiased. I'm an Aggie fan. I love the job that he's done for our school and all the wonderful things that our program has been brought since he's been here. But I love the fact that guys that play for Sumlin seem to have fun. And that's what this game is all about. Have fun. We recruit good football players to our school. We got guys that can make plays. Just let them make plays. Don't restrict them from making plays because they're scared to make a turnover.
Last thing, Stephen, then we'll let you go for this week. As a fan, can you remember a game quite like this one? I mean, the Alabama one a couple years ago was big, but it was so early in the season. I think that was the second game of the year for both teams. You know, we're halfway through October now. Is there, you know, a game that you can compare this one to this late in the season that you can recall?
I can't. And I have a short memory, but I'll tell you this. That game when Johnny Manziel, his last year at A&M, when Alabama came to town, was special. That atmosphere was electric. It was different. You can only fit 82,000 or whatever it was in Kyle Field. I mean, that's the max you could fit in there. But the air was different. There was so much tension. There was so much excitement. You could hear it. You could feel it. There was another 40, 50,000 people outside the stadium that were just wanted to be in and around the arena. They weren't even in there. That was special. That was different. I have never seen an atmosphere like that. I'm hoping that this Saturday, Kyle Field will be the same way. It's going to be a big day. A lot of people are going to be cashing in. Free furniture come Monday morning. Maybe I'll be one of those. I don't know. But I'm telling you what, guys, if you think about where we've come from as a football program in just a short amount of time, it's amazing to think about what we have to look forward to. I mean, we're talking about being an undefeated program, beating a defending national championship caliber type program at home at Kyle Field in a $450 million stadium. That's the nicest in the country. That is about as good as it gets. It's easy to be an Aggie fan today, and certainly I'm enjoying that as well as hopefully you guys are.
Steven, it should be a fun week. Traffic will be horrible on Friday, and hopefully Saturday it's all worth it. We will talk to you again next week. Thanks for being with us, and we'll see you there Saturday.
All right, guys. Look forward to it as always. Y'all have a good one.
Thanks, Steven.
There you go. Cease. Always good to talk to Stephen McGee. Hopefully we got him off the line, and he's going to reverse the mojo for the Astros. While we were talking to Steven, it is now a 6-6 game.
Oh, is that really 6-6?
It is a 6-6 down there in Houston. I think 5 straight hits. Maybe 6 straight hits until an error there for the Royals. So things have gone off the rails a little bit in Houston, but good stuff there from Stephen McGee. You can tell he's excited. It's gonna be it's an exciting week. See,
I was thinking when you were talking about that, when you listen to Stephen McGee, you can't help but get pumped up with enthusiasm. It's a little bit like people say when you walk in and John Chavis is talking to us in press conference, you almost want to hit somebody. And Chavis and Stephen McGee, they have that it factor people like to talk about.
Yeah, there's no question. They're both the fiery guys, and those are the people you like to hear about. All right, we're going to go to break. Hit us up, 229-1939. We'll come back. We'll finish our this part of the show before we do the high school report. We'll talk a little A&M, Alabama, maybe NFL, whatever else we saw this weekend. Hit us up, 229-1939. We'll be back. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagles, Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM, 102.7.
It's the best time of year to buy from the best farm and tractor retailer in the Brazos Valley, Norman G. Tractor. Get zero down payment, 0% financing, top dollar for your trade-in, and free delivery. Get the Kubota L2501F 25-horsepower two-wheel drive tractor with a 5-foot Land Pride shredder and a 5-foot Land Pride box blade with teeth. And $2,250 in rebates for only $11,245 or $160 per month. Want your tractor to do even more? Well, try the Kubota L2501HST 25-horsepower tractor with four-wheel drive, Kubota front-end loader, 5-foot Land Pride shredder, and box blade with teeth. Get $2,250 in rebates. Pay only $18,145 or $231 per month. Why buy used when you can buy new with payments as low as these? That's why Norman G. Tractor is known as the place to shop for all of your tractor, utility vehicle, and lawn equipment needs. Shop online at normangtractor.com, corner of Highway 39 and OSR in Norman G. And remember, nobody beats Norman G. Tractor. Nobody.
Before construction ever starts on any new home or business, there has to be clearing and site preparation. That's why Kelly Burt Dozer should be your first thought and your first phone call. Kelly Burt Dozer has been clearing the path for progress for over 20 years, commercial or residential. See Kelly Burt Dozer for sand, gravel, topsoil and site preparation, lot, land, and road clearing. Kelly Burt Dozer, 778-1902. That's 778-1902.
Aggie fans, the Kevin Sumlin Radio Show is at Rudy's Barbecue on Harvey Road for the 2015 football season. Show features the coach, questions from the floor as he joins the fans to talk some Aggie football. It's 7 o'clock, Rudy's Barbecue on Harvey Road each Tuesday night. Of course, you'll hear it all here on the Aggie Radio Network. But we'll see you at Rudy's each Tuesday at 7. It's the Kevin Sumlin Radio Show. Come and join us for 1 hour of all things Texas A&M football.
It's rodeo time, Brazos Valley. Get ready to hang on as the Brazos Valley Fair and Rodeo rides into town October 16th, 17th, and 18th. Watch top professional cowboys ride them and rope them. Then enjoy live concerts with the Charlie Daniels Band, the Velcro Pygmies, and Los Terribles del Norte. October 16th, 17th, and 18th at the Brazos County Expo. Visit BrazosValleyFair.com for tickets today or call 979-821-1450.
Merry Christmas!
Does your Christmas wish list include a store full of Christmas shoppers? To make sure your business has a Merry Christmas, you need a partner capable of delivering a powerful marketing message full of holiday cheer. That partner is Brazos Family Magazine, a local publication filled exclusively with local articles. For more information about Brazos Family Magazine, contact Santa's Elves at Brian Broadcasting.
Get Bach and Rusty Burson. Interview a former Texas A&M player each Tuesday at 9:35. It's Aggie Flashback on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone, 102.7 FM.
Welcome back, Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, Aubrey Williams, Robert Sesta, trying to watch the Astros from all the way across the newsroom. it's been a wild game in Houston, to be sure. Kind of like Steven said, there's a lot to talk about with this game and the offense and the defense,
sure,
and special teams and stuff, and how it's going to go. To me, though, this is one of those things that, and there's just these games are so few and far between where you have the record and you have the opponent to And I don't necessarily want to say take a full step forward as a program, because if you lose this game, it's not like you're taking a step back.
Correct.
But,
be careful. Yeah.
But that's the thing. There's no disastrous ending here for A&M. If Alabama comes out and beats them, it's not the end of the world. But the thing is, I think for A&M, if you can win a game like this, it means a lot. Because last year, yeah, they beat Auburn, which was a nice win. But the season was already over when that happened. And when when anything they did before that is still tied to Johnny Manziel, and I think if you can win this one, you at least say, hey, we're going to be here a while. And I think that's the thing, that not winning it doesn't necessarily not say that, but winning it, I think it helps you take at least another step forward as far as being at least perceived from the outside as a permanent fixture in the SEC.
Well, also, if A&M wins, I don't think the way things are going, two losses might get you a share. So if A&M beats Alabama, they're probably going to knock them out of the race. So it's between LSU, A&M, and Ole Miss. So suddenly you'll have somebody new out there. But A&M would get credit for knocking out Alabama. And like you said, you can't start saying like, oh, they win this, and you know, da da da, they're national champions and all this, da da da, because then if you lose it, then what do you know? This is an opportunity. Mm-hmm. This is what you get the SEC for, like you talked. These are the games. They're going to keep coming around. You have to win your fair share of them, and they beat Alabama right off the bat first year. They're only 1-2 against Alabama. A lot of teams would like to be 1-2 against Alabama in their last three deals. So once again, you take it for what it's worth. And I like what McGee said. Go in, just throw the ball, do whatever. And Sumlin has proven that he'll do that. Just keep playing, because eventually it's Bum Phillips. You're going to knock that door in. You keep playing these kind of games. And Ole Miss put a crack in that Alabama door. Now A&M needs to walk through it.
Yeah, and the thing is, there's been in the last couple of years, they finally have the guys. You know, we talked about how good some of their top flight players were. And we said this before the season, that I felt this was the first time that A&M finally had enough to go toe-to-toe with these kind of teams with the talent they have across the board. Now, their talent at certain positions isn't ideal. I mean, they don't have the corners that you'd like to have. They don't have the linebackers you'd like to have. They certainly don't have the running backs you'd like to have. But they have depth at certain positions. They're real deep at wide receiver. If you could trade players in college football, A&M might be trying to acquire a running back with some of the receivers they have. And defensive line has been real deep this year, too. So I think their depth is improved, and this is a chance for A&M to really, you know, make its mark on at least on the national stage. Because, and here's the thing, we talked about this before the year, where A&M was going to have to go, I think we said 6-0 before anybody would buy in because of what happened last year.
Sure.
Well, now you're there again. You've set the stage for yourself. You just got to be able to pull the trigger.
Well, and also go back to some basics. If A&M beats Alabama, it's not an upset. When A&M went in with Johnny Manziel, it was considered an upset. Well, of course, that team was a lot better than people are giving them credit for. And sometimes you don't know that, as we're talking about some of these games, until you play 10, 11 games. But if A&M beats Alabama, sorry, it's not an upset. They just were the better team that day. That's how far A&M has come, as you said, all these recruits. Ole Miss, it wasn't as big an upset because they beat them last year as well. So once again, as you're seeing all college football, the quotes, the Ohio States of the world and the Alabamas, they're not out there way in front of everybody. There's a lot of people with them, and if they don't play well, they're going to lose. And heck, Ohio State almost lost to Indiana. I mean, everybody's getting better in the SEC West. No one would be shocked if Alabama end up losing three league games this year. I don't think anybody would.
No.
But A&M is right there. All you got to do is win the game. And we talked about this, a lot of things. You got to win at home. You got them at home. This
That's
is where you're supposed
thing.
To win. You're not going to Tuscaloosa. You're at home. You are supposed to win the majority of your big games at home, because you can't expect to go into Alabama and LSU and win if they're ranked better than you and have equal players. That's the home field advantage. And A&M's got a $485 million home field advantage.
Yeah, and that's the other reason why this game is so big, is the fact that it is at home. And, you know, A&M's had some big wins, but they've mostly been on the road. I know Mississippi State was their first win over a ranked team at home, but that was not a great team. I mean, they were ranked, but
if A&M had lost, to me, that would have been a huge upset if Mississippi State won.
Everyone knows that I'm not a huge fan of the ranked game thing anyway, because to me, it shouldn't matter if you beat the number 5 team at home in the first week of the season if they're the number 50 team at the end of the season.
End of the season.
Yeah, it's, to me, more about who did you beat, where, and how do they end up being. So the ranked game thing is a little, you know, a little over dramatic.
Because the team's 20 that start the year and they finish 5-7. Oh, boy.
Well, right. And Mississippi State's not going to end the season in the top 25, I don't think. So is that really beating a ranked team? Yes, because they were ranked, but not really. I mean, you didn't beat a top 25 team, you know, at the end of the year, a team that was actually going to be.
I'm with you 100% on that one.
Yeah. So I think this one is a chance to get a big signature win at home, something they haven't been able to do.
It's all right there. It's all right there.
Yeah. In front of you know, the home crowd and all that kind of stuff. So, that, like you said, that's another added dimension, to this thing, will be the crowd. This is going to be a wild atmosphere on Saturday.
Oh, it's got to be. It's got to be.
I mean, we've seen some crazy crowds at Kyle Field, but this one is going to be right up.
I agree with Steven. 2 years ago when Alabama came here, that was a special weekend. I remember that. Everywhere you went, you sensed something big was going to happen. And you got to admit, you couldn't have been disappointed in that 49-42 game. Yeah, A&M. You wanted A&M to win. But as far as getting your money's worth, the big bang, all the national scribes was here, even some of the big magazines, that's going to be that way again this week, because people want to come in and see, can someone stick a fork in Alabama and probably end their chances of getting to the college football playoff. And A&M's got that chance.
Well, and the thing about a stage like this is you also never know who's going to walk out on it. I mean, you know, sometimes an unexpected person ends up having a big game in a game like this, and then we're all talking about them next week. You know, I mean, we talked about Kyle Allen and Christian Kirk and the guys that A&M's going to have to rely on. But there's guys that could make a name for themselves in this game and potentially make millions of dollars off of it down the road that maybe we're not talking about. I mean, a guy like Devontae Harris, who's been good so far this year, but you know, hasn't been great, and I would say outside of College Station, not many people know who he is. So I mean, that's the kind of guy you look for. Can he come out and have a big game? A guy like him, a guy, you know, we mentioned Josh Reynolds, another guy that they're going to have to count on. But what about Ricky Seals-Jones? Could he come in and have the kind of game that a lot of people hope that he can have? So it's these guys that maybe we're, you know, not talking about yet. But it's their opportunity, and we've seen that before in games like this and stages like this, where a guy that a player that maybe hasn't done anything great steps up in that moment because they're a gamer type player. Maybe we'll see who those guys are this week. Cease.
You don't know. Maybe Trey Carson rushes for 125 yards.
Right, exactly.
But he sets up the whole offense. Maybe A.J. Hillier gets an interception and a fumble recovery. I mean, because John Chavis is going to have attacking defense. Maybe it's one of those guys. And Donovan Wilson, I'd bet on him having a big game,
yeah,
if I'm betting,
know,
on somebody.
Right.
I mean, he's not, that wouldn't be a shock anybody, but sometimes just go with the obvious. Maybe Garrett has 4 sacks. You know, just go with the obvious.
Well, and that's the thing. You expect your big guys to play well. My point is that sometimes even players.
Oh, I agree.
Players know that if they get noticed at a game like this, that it could really benefit them down the line. So sometimes you do see guys who maybe haven't quite stepped up before really take advantage of these kind of games. And so we'll see. You know, we'll see if any of those guys come out for A&M. That'll do it for this part of the show today. We'll talk more about Alabama throughout the week. How about that? Let's go.
Sounds good.
Let's go to the high school report. We will get y'all's thoughts more on the A&M Aggies and Crimson Tide as we go throughout the week. But keep hitting us up, 229-1939. We'll go to break. Come back. It's high school time. Aggie Nation powered by the Eagle here on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
From News Talk 1620 WTAW, I'm Chelsea Reber with a news update on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM. Drunk driving arrests last weekend included a College Station woman with 3 prior DWI convictions. 61-year-old Deborah Amos is out of jail on bond following a crash on Saturday in East Bryan at Highway 30 in Winding Creek. Witnesses told a DPS trooper her vehicle was on Winding Creek and had stopped at the dead end, but she drove straight across the highway up the dirt embankment, threw a barbed wire fence, and hit a telephone pole. A Bryan man whose driving record includes 12 active suspensions, the latest being last month, was caught by a Brazos County Sheriff's deputy Saturday afternoon driving a pickup with an expired tag. At last check, 54-year-old Joaquin Castillo Castro remains in jail in lieu of a $2,000 bond. Residents in the Raintree subdivision may have seen someone jump out of a moving pickup Saturday night. That's after a College Station officer followed the truck off the freeway after almost getting hit. The driver of the truck truck was caught following a foot chase, and 21-year-old Sean Nodder of Bryan was arrested for evading arrest and possessing a handgun with a felony conviction. Those who own food trucks and want to operate in the Northgate District until 3 in the morning are going to have to join a group. The College Station City Council turned down requests for solo operators after hearing from the police department's commander of the Northgate District, Lieutenant Chris Perkins.
I have no objections to a food court, which would be much easier for us, but the individuals being spread out is almost impossible with our resources.
Perkins says 8 officers are spread throughout Northgate dealing with issues when the bars close. The council approved regulations for mobile food courts throughout the city. The permit process includes going through the Planning and Zoning Commission as well as the council. For more, go online to WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
When you think of Texas A&M Athletics on The Zone, think of the businesses sponsoring the games of your favorite team.
Businesses like Hargrove Insurance, Terry Ruffino, Coldwell Banker, Agtown Realtors, and Atkinson Toyota in Bryan and Madisonville.
Here's a big gig'em to these sponsors of Texas A&M Athletics. You're listening to the flagship station for Texas A&M Athletics, Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
Be our guest for Broadway's most enchanted musical. Networks proudly presents Disney's Beauty and the Beast, live on stage, featuring all of the adventure, the spectacular effects, and the classic Disney songs you've come to love.
Disney's Beauty and the Beast, presented by MSC Opus, October 20th and 21st in Rutter Auditorium, sponsored by Aggieland Credit Union. Get your family's tickets now, mscopus.org.
Play to win your share of $1 million every week this football season at DraftKings.com. With 1 week fantasy at DraftKings, you can play when you want with a team you want. Just pick your contest, pick your team, and pick up your winnings. Hurry to DraftKings.com now. Use code Louie and play for free with your first deposit in Sunday's $1 million fantasy contest. This isn't fantasy as usual. This is DraftKings. Welcome to the big time. Enter Louie for free entry now only at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com.
Howdy, Ags. We've got an extra special spirit stop for y'all this week, brought to you by Buppy's Catering. Friday night at Plaza Palooza, the Aggie men's and women's basketball teams and Sports Radio 1150 in The Zone 102.7 FM will be at the Northeast Plaza outside Kyle Field at 10, with your chance to win free shirts, koozies, and a Zone care pack. Spirit stops are brought to you by Buppy's Catering. Find out more on the events tab at zone1150.com.
Defense!
Now it's time for the High School Report, covering all the local sports action in the community on Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle.
Welcome back. Time for today's High School Report, brought to you by Kelly Bird Dozer, your number one excavating contractor. You can call them at 778-1902. Kelly Bird Dozer, proudly supporting the youth of our community. David, we're the Royals just took the lead on the Astros, so we're having a hard time here grinding through this part of the show. But Friday night, I wasn't here. I took this one off. But tell us a little about what was it like over there. Brian Consall sounded like a good game.
It was a good game, and I'll let you know that up at Arlington, it's not going a whole heck of a lot better either. So because it's 4-0 in the second in favor of Toronto. So all that said, we'll get away from baseball for a second. Actually, it was a really good game. Aubrey, the A&M consolidated, and Brian went back and forth at one another, and Brian scored 12 seconds into the game. Recovered an onside kick. Joe Hedge came on an end around, threw a touchdown pass to Tyler Slayton, and Brian got off to a great start. And then I just thought A&M consolidated a good job of kind of slugging their way through. Brian was trying to take the passing game away from them, and so they got their running game going. Did a good job with Franklin, James Franklin, running the ball, and also with Mason Hickson, and turned into a very good game. Some key mistakes, a blocked punt late in the game kind of locked it up for the Tigers, and I thought both came in with good game plans. Just a real good, solid, hard-fought game, fun game to watch.
Yeah, it was one that it sounded like, said from all the accounts I read, it sounded like a good one. And finally, we saw Brian, like we've been joking about, finally play a close game. I mean, that was one thing that we had to see him face that down and how they handled it. And they didn't come out on top, but it seems like they played well.
Yeah, they did fine. I mean, they responded to some of the things. It was a matter of both teams trying to come up with the responses they needed. It just came down to the Tigers making a few more plays down the stretch than the Vikings did. But I thought it was a huge win for Consol. I thought it puts them in position that, and I think we've talked about this a lot, is I don't think anybody wants, whether the coaches say it or not, nobody wants to face Temple in the first round of the playoffs. Well, there's virtually no chance that that Consol will do that. Now, they'll either go as the Division II team, and as a Division II team where they can't play them there, or they will go as the number one Division I team because of the win over Bryan, or at least that's the most likely possibility. And, a lot of things can still happen with a few games still left to play, but I think they did themselves a lot of good from that standpoint, because they had a hard time with Temple in the playoffs last year at Bi-District. The Vikings had a hard time with them earlier this year over in Temple, losing that game 54-0, and I don't think anybody wants to do that. Now, Brian would love to see, and this is not out of the realm of possibility, he'd love to see Willis come in and take that second-place spot, but it would take Brian beating Willis for the spot and getting Willis into Division I as a playoff team. That's within the realm of possibility. Willis almost beat Huntsville for the final playoff spot last year, and the game will be in Willis this year. But it comes down to the first thing for Brian. They got to kind of turn things around and say, forget about that Consol game, which was a very emotional game. I mean, they were very much into it. They've got to take on Willis this next week for homecoming, and they have to win, I think. If they don't, then they have to worry about making the playoffs at all.
Yeah, I mean, obviously a big game for Brian this week coming back off of that one. It's going to be, always an exciting time if anyone can get there, because the traffic's going to be so bad in this town on Friday. It'll be homecoming over there at Merrill Green Stadium. Should be fun. But what else stuck out to you on Friday? What else are people talking about? What did y'all write about over the weekend? Other games that kind of stuck out to y'all?
Well, we wrote about a lot of upsets, because there were a bunch of upsets this weekend. And you have to look at, what's the biggest upset? Because when you have three or four of them, like we did this week, I think you try to think, okay, what tops the other? And I thought Lexington going over to Leon and pulling off a victory there was a pretty big upset. But it's really a little hard to top Somerville going to Bartlett and getting a win when they ended a 35-game losing streak. So I think I'll give, for the upset of the week this week, you can pick up tomorrow's paper and you'll see Somerville's name in there, because the Yewas halted a 35-game losing streak with that 14-8 win over Bartlett. And I think that was it. I think that a lot of people got good starts to district, but not Centerville. They got Centerville was pounded in their opening game to Lovelady, 64-28. We talked about that a little bit last week. Despite the losses that Centerville had, could they hang in there with Lovelady? They couldn't in this case. And now, same situation with Centerville. Can they win? And I think they possibly could win their final four games, still be a pretty good playoff team. But you're going to go in as a 4-6 team if that's the case now. And they need to get a few things going. But other people had no problems at all. Iola won big in its opener. They completely dominated that game. And so that was a pretty impressive performance, I thought, for Iola with their victory. As they had a couple of guys that did extremely well. They won it over Evadale. They won it 54-20. And there's some pretty good road trips, by the way, in that district. So so when you make one of those long road trips. The other games locally are involving the local teams. Rudder was out of town, but they were in Willis. And I really thought it was a real bounce-back opportunity for Rudder, but that didn't work out very well either. They lost 52-20. And now I think Rudder is really their backs completely against the wall. If they really are a contender, they're going to have to beat some pretty good teams down the stretch to get themselves back in this race in any way. And I think that they have Livingston coming up. That's a game they should win. That should maybe get them going in the right direction. But it's a game they didn't win last year. So you never know. I mean, it will be a challenge going over to Livingston to win that game. And the other side of that, Livingston just got absolutely pounded in their game by College Station. And I Cease was at this game. He was in fact on the broadcast of this game. But when you put, when somebody puts up 86 like College Station did, it was 86-23. You know, you always kind of do that little double take, like, did they run up the score? And I don't know, to be quite frank with you. I hadn't really talked to a whole lot of people about that. And I know that they changed positions. They had some wide receivers playing at the running back position, but I think there'll be some questions about that with the Cougars. But
certainly.
But the other aspect of that is they are still tied for first place with A&M Consolidated. And when those two play each other again, they're going to play at College Station this year. That ought to be a tremendous game. I think that's going to be fun. They'll do that in a couple of weeks. And everybody kind of – actually, outside of – I think that was homecoming for College Station. I think just about every – Brian's going to have homecoming next week. Consol's going to have homecoming next week. They call those trap games, but there's no way Candy Creek's going to beat A&M Consolidated. That's not going to happen. You know, I just there were some other good wins. I talked about district openers, and Caldwell was expected to beat Salado. They did in a big way. They won 56-13. And now Caldwell, who we were talking about – what's wrong with Caldwell at the beginning of the season? They've won three games in a row, and looks like there's nothing wrong with them now. They had a big game from Dominic Chambers. I'd take anybody just about any week who gets me a couple of interceptions like Chambers did. Well, he had one late in that game to preserve the win over Mahia. Well, this last week against Salado, he had two interceptions and took them both back for touchdowns. So that's a pretty good night as well. So I'd you know, count that as a positive. Navasota. All right, here's the stat of the week. This is the stat of maybe the stat of the year. Navasota won their game and just absolutely, you know, just ran away from Sterling. They won it 70-6. But how often do you hear one that sounds this good? Shelton Epler, the quarterback for the Navasota Rattlers, who we've been touting all season long. Somebody needs to go after this guy because he's that good. I don't care who you're playing. If you're out there against the scout team, he hit 22 of 23 passes, 543 yards, 8 touchdown passes, no interceptions.
Well, that'll work.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to win you a game or two, don't you think, Arbor?
Yeah, I think you got a good shot with that one. One thing I do want to mention, Dave, is that, you know, we're never for teams in the local area or against any teams, but we saw it before when Rutter went through a big drought. When what Somerville went through happens and they're able to break out of that, that's always you always feel good for those teams and for those programs.
Well, I think so, and I think in Somerville's case, you know, they ended up changing coaches in the middle of the season. I mean, that makes this a win even more remarkable. Both those teams were 0-6 going in, and so you kind of thought maybe they've got a chance because they didn't play badly in their previous game against Bremond. Bremond kind of called off the dogs a little bit early in that game, but you know, you kind of find out a little bit about a team when they are losing a lot of these games, and you've got this streak. Are you still fighting? Well, they were still fighting, and then they go on the road and get the win. So that I just thought that was a huge win. And you know, we talked about Lexington at the beginning of the season. They opened their Lexington's problem might have been they opened with the wrong teams. They opened taking on a really good Teague team and losing that in a rout. And then they go to Cameron and take on Cameron in the second week of the season. They lose that in a rout. And everybody thinks, well, what's wrong with these guys? They lost to Shiner. They're playing really good people. And they finally got their offense the way they wanted going. Nick Dillon, who has been their quarterback or was all of the last 2 years, basically, and he's been moved to the running back spot. And he had a good game, a rush for over 100 yards and scored a couple of touchdowns. And I think Leon is a really quality team. So I still think everybody's battling to try to catch up with Franklin in that district. He was off last week, but I don't think anybody's going to catch up with Franklin. But that was a huge win for Lexington. That could get them possibly into the second-place playoff picture. It certainly looks like it would be them, Trinity, and Leon fighting for it still. And Leon has got the win over Trinity, and now the win there. They could be looking at a three-way tie for second place in that district. But if somebody manages to upset Franklin, well, more power to them, because that means you're going to be really good. But I think Franklin's still the team to beat in that 3A district.
Is there anything else we need to cover before I let you go?
No, I don't think so. I think it was a pretty good night of football. A lot of upsets, more upsets than we have had at any week this season. So sets up some really good games coming up this week as well.
Well, there you go. Should be a fun week. David, thanks for being with us.
You bet.
All right, that'll do it for today's High School Report, brought to you by Kelly Bird Dozer, the number one excavating contractor. You can call them at 778-1902. Kelly Bird Dozer proudly supporting the youth of our community. We'll go to break, come back, and wrap up with the news. This is Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, here on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
It's the best time of year to buy from the best farm and tractor retailer in the Brazos Valley, Norman G. Tractor. Get zero down payment, 0% financing, top dollar for your trade-in, and free delivery. Get the Kubota L2501F 25-horsepower two-wheel drive tractor with a 5-foot Land Pride shredder and a 5-foot Land Pride box blade with teeth. And $2,250 in rebates for only $11,245 or $160 per month. Want your tractor to do even more? Well, try the Kubota L2501 HST 25-horsepower tractor with four-wheel drive, Kubota front-end loader, 5-foot Land Pride shredder, and box blade with teeth. Get $2,250 in rebates. Pay only $18,145 or $231 per month. Why buy used when you can buy new with payments as low as these? That's why Norman G. Tractor is known as the place to shop for all of your tractor, utility vehicle, and lawn equipment needs. Shop online at normangtractor.com, corner of Highway 39 and OSR in Norman G. And remember, nobody beats Norman G. Tractor. Nobody.
St. Joseph Eagle football fans, here's a reminder for you to listen to St. Joseph Eagles football throughout the season on 88.5 FM. St. Joseph Eagle football is brought to you this season by these fine local businesses.
Jeff Paradowski, attorney at law, Glockson Family Partnership, Prosperity Bank, and Jason Bayinski, BCR Realtor.
Listen to St. Joseph Eagles football on 88.5 FM. Special thanks to all of our St. Joseph Eagle football sponsors.
It's rodeo time, Brazos Valley. Get ready to hang on as the Brazos Valley Fair and Rodeo rides into town October 16th, 17th, and 18th. Watch top professional cowboys ride them and rope them. Then enjoy live concerts with the Charlie Daniels Band, the Velcro Pygmies, and Los Terribles del Norte. October 16th, 17th, and 18th at the Brazos County Expo. Visit BrazosValleyFair.com for tickets today or call 979-821-1450.
Before construction ever starts on any new home or business, there has to be clearing and site preparation. That's why Kelly Burt Dozer should be your first thought and your first phone call. Kelly Burt Dozer has been clearing the path for progress for over 20 years, commercial or residential. See Kelly Burt Dozer for sand, gravel, topsoil and site preparation, lot, land, and road clearing. Kelly Burt Dozer, 778-1902. That's 778-1902.
1 week fantasy football at DraftKings means every moment could take you closer to a life-changing payday. Play when you want and pick a new team every time. Use code Louie to play free for a shot at $1 million in this week's Millionaire Maker event, only at DraftKings.com.
Spend your weekdays with Tex Ags Radio, Louie Bellini, Aggie Nation, and Chip Power. Spend your weekdays with The Zone, FM 102.7, and Sports Radio 1150.
Welcome back. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. Aubrey Bloom, joined by Kelly Brown to tell us what's going on outside of the sports world. A few things inside the sports world. The Astros are now trailing, and it's not going real well. They're up 6-2, and now it's 7-6, so it's not good, Kelly. And then also we talked about Steve Sarkisian early in the show and his future at USC. Well, it turns out he doesn't have one. He was fired just a little while ago by the USC Trojans. So that all kind of turned around in a hurry. He has been, I think, terminated was the word in the official tweet from the USC press release. So he is no longer the coach. Yeah, probably. You can't have coaches showing up to games drunk, so probably the right move there for USC. But we talked about that earlier, so thought we would update y'all with that little bit of news from the sports world. What's going on outside the world of sports?
Well, over the weekend, some big news here. If anybody has ever lived for longer than a week in Bryan-College Station, you know that the only mall here is Post Oak Mall.
Yes.
How often would you say you go there?
Never.
Okay.
actually, when I need a new hat.
Really?
Yeah, they have the lids in the mall.
Well,
so if I need a new Astros hat, I go there.
Okay.
So once every 3 years or so,
okay.
I go there.
good to know your habit purchasing pattern there. Well, so over the weekend, there was a carnival there, the Wright Entertainment Company. They own a carnival company. They're out of Houston, have had many, many successes here. I think they come at least once, maybe twice a year, and they're typically positioned over at the mall. They lease space over there. And it's a mix of college students and people from throughout the Brazos Valley. It's a pretty big carnival. Mm-hmm. Saturday night, 13-year-old girl is fighting. Police had already broken up a couple fights. 13-year-old girl kind of resists arrest, kicks the cop. They've got to get a little bit physical to try to restrain her. And what turned out to be like 200 people around these four off-duty cops working at the carnival grew to about 400. And then by the time backup came in within minutes, which was make a total of 30 police officers at this thing, 1,000 people had been had gathered, and some had gotten a bit unruly where they were throwing some cups and with liquids in it at the police officers, yelling cuss words. If you read the probable cause statement, Aubrey, these are words you would not say in front of your mother, okay? I think. Maybe. I don't know. No, I've never eaten dinner with your family,
yeah,
so I don't know.
Yeah, I doubt. It's unlikely I would say some of them.
So anyway, it ends with five teenagers, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, okay? All
That's
represented
almost all
there,
of them.
Right?
Yeah.
Being arrested for various crimes, and two police officers received minor injuries. So this is kind of a big deal for this community to have 1,000 people. But we're thinking, you know, think of all the things that could have gone wrong. I mean, or just that could have been made into a bigger deal and all of a sudden we're on CNN. You know, if there had been a tasing incident or a shooting or something like that, because most of these people were there because their parents dropped them off. So that said, I think the message they're trying to get out to parents, don't drop your young children off at any big event, really, an Aggie football game, per se, anything like that, carnival, because when things go south, A, the kids tend to egg each other on, but B, when it came time to disperse, they had nowhere to go because they didn't have a ride home.
Yeah.
So they all just sat there. Anyway, we're checking into some other reports about some crime that might have been reported in the area afterward, and they're trying to determine whether that is tied to the youth who instigated these brawls at the carnival.
Who's fighting at a carnival anyway? Step your life game up, people. Quit brawling at carnivals.
Have you considered like maybe being the MC at a carnival and announcing that maybe at 8 o'clock when things start getting dark?
It just seems like a odd place to fight somebody. Hmm. I mean, I don't know what seems like a good place to fight somebody, but a carnival seems like a really odd place to fight somebody.
Well, especially, you know, you got law enforcement there. What do you think they're going to do? They're just going to let you beat each other up? I mean,
you might think it's part of the bit.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
But apparently the carnival complied with police and everything went well there, but they're keeping an eye on it, and they've got more law enforcement out there. My question was, are you guys going to be here for the Alabama game this Saturday? And I believe they are. So,
well, I would, yeah.
Okay, we also have, shifting gears here, you'll like this, it's about Uber, okay, Lyft. The cities of Bryan and College Station are holding a public forum within minutes. Actually, it might be going on right now, to discuss the vehicle for hire ordinance and possible regulations for Uber and Lyft. So the local taxi owners and drivers are invited to attend. So this should be a very interesting meeting.
Yeah.
They've been very vocal. They are against these companies operating here in Bryan and College Station.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Jake Walker, fresh from his capital murder trial from last month, is writing a story for TheEagle.com and MiamiNation.com in which an A&M professor is sharing their thoughts on the Democratic debate, the first debate that the Democratic Party has held. That will be tomorrow night, so you won't want to miss those predictions as to what this professor thinks we're going to see. We've got a warrant amnesty period right now in the area. So if you have a warrant out, you didn't pay your parking tickets at Northgate, or you didn't pay your speeding ticket in Bryan, or whatever yours is, criminal trespass.
We're chewing gum on the radio.
Oh my God, that's just me making noise. All right, we're chewing gum anywhere at any time. Then if you turn yourself in and you pay your ticket this week, then they're not going to come to your workplace, Aubrey, and arrest you, which they will do for these minor offenses because they got to clear these things, get them off the books. I got to tell you, it's very distracting because I'm sitting here, and we're in a room, and it's there's this radio desk, and there's some computers, and Aubrey and I today are facing each other. Normally, we're side by side, and he cannot stop watching the TV. So, yeah, I know, but you keep turning your neck like...
I'm still listening.
Like your best friend just got in a car accident.
Well,
you're like, is he okay? Is he okay?
No, and they didn't. They just gave up another two-run homer. It's now 9-6 Royals, so they're not okay.
Can I ask you this? Are you going to be okay if the Astros don't make it?
No. I mean, I'll live. I've made it the last decade since they didn't win the World Series, but...
But on a level of, you know, 1 to 10, with 10 being the most... How disappointed will you be?
Oh, like a 10. I mean, they were up 6-2 going into the eighth inning, and now they're down 9-6. So,
are you gonna cry?
No, I'm not really a crier. I might throw things if I was at home, but this stuff's all expensive in here. Cool. Check all that in the Eagle. We'll be back tomorrow. A little post game reaction, or post press conference reactions. We'll see.